Good morning. What an interesting time of the year, Advent. The time that comes with the four Sundays leading up to Christmas, the day we celebrate the birth of the Christ. Advent, it's just loaded with wonder. Christmas parties, gathering friends and family together, gifts to be wrapped and placed under the tree, cookies to bake, Christmas cards to send, all these joyful preparations for Christmas Day. It can be exhausting, and yet it's beautiful, getting ready for our midwinter feast, the day celebrating the light of Christ entering into the world, a baby born in a barn. I want to start today's reflection with an acknowledgement that this isn't a time of joy for many people. Many are struggling with the loss of someone dear to them or experiencing serious health issues or financial worries or loneliness or depression or struggling with addiction. Many are hungry. Many are without a home or are living in fear that the lives that they have worked so hard to build might be torn apart. It's a cold, dark time of the year for many people. And I mean good, faithful Christian people. And I know that December, this time leading up to Christmas, can be especially hard for some. And this is supposed to be the most wonderful time of the year, and that expectation can actually amplify the pain that is in some people's hearts. And if you find yourself sitting in this place, sitting in your pew today, in that place of pain and sorrow, well, my heart goes out to you. And my prayer is that you can somehow find even a little peace today, even if only for an hour. But my prayer for you extends beyond that, beyond this hour that we're spending together, and I pray that you may find light and new life and even joy in the new year. It might take a while, or it might happen suddenly. We'll just have to wait and see. Advent has traditionally been the season of the church when we're encouraged to wait in watchful anticipation. Fine. But what exactly are we waiting for? Jesus' birthday? Well, yes, that for sure. But if all we are waiting for is Christmas Eve or Christmas morning, well, what's the point in that? We know that December 25th will arrive right on time, like it always does, just as surely as the days will start getting longer after the winter solstice, which is on the horizon also. Maybe the idea is to take on an attitude of waiting as a spiritual practice. Maybe we need to learn to wait now more than ever. These days, everything that we think that we want or need is instantly available. Now we have Amazon Prime to deliver us, and streaming music and videos to captivate us, a 24-hour news cycle to feed our anxiety, and text messages flying through the night to give us a sense of urgency. Maybe now more than ever, we need to learn to be still and to wait. Maybe now more than ever, we need to learn to be present and listen for the voice of God. You might notice that today the Keegans lit a rose-colored candle. In our tradition, this third Sunday of Advent is known as Gaudete Sunday. It's Latin. Gaudete means rejoice. It's in the imperative voice. Rejoice. But what does rejoice mean? According to the dictionary, it means to feel or show great joy or delight. So a rose-colored candle in the midst of all this somber purple, a day of rejoicing in this somewhat, in the church at least, subdued season of Lent. Huh. Advent. As Travis pointed out today, sometimes it's called the Little Lent, but more churchy stuff. Now, let's notice that the word rejoice appears in almost every reading today. Zephaniah tells us to sing aloud and rejoice and exult with all our hearts because God rejoices over us. And that's an amazing statement, isn't it? That God rejoices over us. That somehow, not in spite of our so-called fallen humanity, but in our very own flawed human lives in this world, we make God happy. God rejoices over you and you and you and you and me. Zephaniah is onto something here. Ring out your joy, he says. And in the first song of Isaiah, our canticle for today, Isaiah tells us to draw water from the springs of salvation, which is the Holy Spirit moving through the world, moving through our lives, moving among us, and to rejoice as we draw strength from God. Drawing strength from God like water emerging from a spring, emerging from the earth, God's grace and love are just that freely given and that accessible. And today, of course, we just turn on the tap and clean water is instantly available. And maybe this week we can remember as we turn on the tap to get a drink or to do the dishes or to brush our teeth, that the water from the tap can be a sign of the gift of God's love for us. St. Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, doesn't just tell us once. No, he feels the need to tell us twice in one sentence, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. And we all know that sometimes it's very easy to be present to joy and delight, especially living in or visiting Jackson Hole in the wintertime. The Tetons bathed in full December light, that low light that casts long shadows. A snowstorm blowing in unexpectedly. The lights of the town lit up on a winter night. All of these things can bring us joy and delight and surprise us with God's amazing creative powers. In these moments, when we are grabbed by the beauty and wonder of it all, we don't seem to need any other reminder to rejoice. And when we feel the spontaneous connection with one another in our most intimate moments, and it can happen in the most random of circumstances, as well as in the most mundane domestic situations, then if we listen for it and open ourselves to it, God's grace can come ringing through to us in the voices of other people. Again, at those times, we don't need to be reminded to rejoice. The joy just comes naturally. Then there are those times in all of our lives when joy doesn't seem quite so accessible. Those moments of sadness or loss, those dark nights of the soul. In those times, which we all experience, the imperative to rejoice falls flat or can even seem insulting. But I wonder if joy is still accessible, even in our darkest moments. I know sometimes I struggle to find it, but once in a while, there it is. I said a minute ago that rejoice is the message that we hear in today's readings if we listen for it. But in the one reading where we might most expect to hear it, joy seems absent. On Gaudete Sunday, the day of the rose-colored candle, we get this harsh gospel message. John the Baptizer, reading the riot act to those who have come down to the river Jordan to be baptized and to be yelled at. You brood of vipers, he says. Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? How's that for an opening for a sermon? I imagine it got their attention on the banks of the Jordan that day. I know it got mine. John is trying to shock them into seeing themselves in a new and different way. First, he tells them that their pedigrees, their lineages, their ancestries are not going to save them. Not if they cannot bear good fruit, that is, fruit worthy of repentance. What does he mean, fruit worthy of repentance? To repent means to turn around. Get a new vision. See the world, yourself, your neighbors, your brothers and sisters in a new way. And through a new vision and understanding, to change your life. Where is the joy in that? Did some of the crowd walk away from John's harsh message? Well, not all of them, apparently, because there were still enough of a crowd to pose John a question. And here is the turn in the story that I love. They didn't argue with him. They must have heard enough power in the terrible words he threw at them, maybe hearing a powerful truth in the language. They even were willing to let down their guard enough to ask him, what then should we do? How should we live our lives now that we can no longer rely on our old notions of who we are? John's answer couldn't have been any simpler or more straightforward. Whoever has two coats must share them with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise. The basic necessities, if you're cold and hungry, coats and food actually save lives. John here points out that the way to live in God's kingdom as true children of a loving, generous God is for us to love freely, to give freely of whatever we have. It's simple. It's not always easy. Because we all have our everyday lives to live. We have jobs, maybe families, and even if we don't, there's still work to do. And that's why the tax collectors and the soldiers, who were Romans, ask John to get a little more specific. What should we do? And that's the question that I propose that each of us ask ourselves today. Now that we have a new understanding of who we are, beloved children of God, what should we do? John's answer to the Romans and the tax collectors is very specific to the job that each one of them has, but it really boils down to this. His message is, act with integrity. Do what you are called upon to do, and make sure that you match your words with your actions. No lying, no deceit. These words must have struck a chord in the people because they start to wonder if he, John, is the Messiah. Remember, they'd been waiting in expectation for a good long time for the coming of one who would save them. They'd been waiting a good deal longer than 4 Sundays leading up to Christmas. John goes back to metaphor here. He goes back to poetry again to tell them that he's not the one. His job is to get them ready for the one who will show them the way to enter into the kingdom. He doesn't mention him by name. He lets them discover Jesus for themselves, if they have the eyes to see and the ears to hear. He tells them that the one who is coming will bring them the gift of cleansing fire. And these last sentences of today's reading can be interpreted in a narrow and, I feel, somewhat damaging way. Sure, we can hear this as a metaphor of how the Messiah is coming into the world to gather up all the good people, take them to heaven with him, and throw the rest of us into hell. But let's be a little more expansive and generous with our reading today. The wheat and the chaff are in us all, in each one of us. And we are so beloved by God that he sent his Son to help us find the good in ourselves, in our own lives, the wheat, the fruit, the nourishment, and to burn up all that extra stuff. Those habits and traits that separate us from one another and therefore from God. This is truly a message of hope and joy. So, Gaudete, rejoice. He's here in our hearts today, and he's coming as a baby in a manger just 10 short days from now. Amen.